let's get started. Is Hashem just, I'll finish off the point, that I got an air fryer. So an air fryer is basically a glorified oven. Really, it's just a glorified oven. It's like tall, has like this big thing on the top, which creates like convention oven setting. And then you have a drawer that you put the food in on various things, like either in a pizza pan or on grates, different types of grates, and you put it in there, and it gets super hot. Basically, what it does is it's like a convention oven that it heats the air. It has fans to shoot the air all around very quickly that cook the food as if it was frying but without the oil, and therefore it's much healthier because you're baking it and you're not frying it. That's really the issue. Now that we spoke so much about sous vide, I'm actually jealous. I want to get a sous vide also, but it sounds cool. No, I want to get one. It sounds cool, but like whatever. We got this toy. Let's get this one to the mikveh for now. What needs tevila though? So this huge, the module, the whole system. It's like there's no way this is going in the mikveh. It'll break. It also doesn't touch the food. What touches the food is maybe the drawer, but definitely the grates. And the grates are all metal, so obviously the grates just have to go to the mikveh. Right, right.
So the whole drawer needs
to be. The question is it one kli, or are these like separate kalim, one on top of the other?
So if it's interchangeable, it doesn't constitute as a part of the kli.
I think so. Yeah, I think it's like made to open and close. But what you're hitting on is an important question in Hilchot Mikvaot of how do you define chatzitza and different kalim? Are these two different kalim that are just touching each other? Or are they one big kli? I don't have the shoulders to discuss at length the details of that halacha, but it is definitely an important halacha to figure out. The Keurig machine, you can't separate the heating canister from the tube to the pump to the this to that. It's all one big kli. It only functions together as one big kli. So,
but Rabbi, the Keurig machine is it's more complex, yeah. But nothing is actually touching the food, which would be the coffee grinds, because it's just water being squirted through. So it's not like any metal is actually coming into contact with the actual material itself.
But the hot water you're saying is pre-sued.
The hot water is squirting like a syringe into it. I don't think the pin actually comes in contact with the grinds.
But it comes in contact with the water, though, no?
It does come in contact with the water.
Is it clay su'uda when the water is about to be... It's heated up, the water is boiled, but the water has not yet come to its final stage. You want to call that clay suda? See, let's say I have a hot water urn. I never drink hot water. I always add it to coffee or tea or whatever.
Why would the sous vide be different than this needle? It's the same exact...
The sous vide, you're not drinking the water at all. The water is just a heating element, basically.
The water, yeah.
That's the issue. Whereas this thing, you're actually going to drink the water. I hear your point, though, that I'm not ready to drink it yet. I need to do more to it first. I need to add the coffee. The thing is, some people, they don't do that. They just push the hot water button on the Keurig without a cup inside so that they get a cup of hot water. If that's the case, then you're going to require tevila for the Keurig machine as a regular clay su'uda. If you want to tell me that you only use it for coffee and you never use it for anything else, then there's what to talk about. But if you use it for hot water stam, then that would be a clay su'uda for sure. Clay su'uda for sure. Now, let's move on. Our topic tonight, last week we spoke about Baruch Hashem. Oh, no. This laptop restarted. Once they just tell him to not run away. Last week we spoke about the different transactions, sales, rentals, loans, collateral, theft. The five transactions we spoke about. We will, be'ezrat Hashem, speak about the other way around. When a Jewish company employs non-Jews, or a Jew wants to have a run of Jewish-owned kalim, how do you enable the goy to do it by giving him the metals? And we have to discuss all those kinyanim the reverse way. We'll talk about that, Be'ezrat Hashem. And all of the factory things, that's Be'ezrat Hashem, 1 week from now's topic. Tonight's topic is how do you handle a merchandise? How do you handle a commercial setting in which the kalim are not being used to serve food? They're not being used to prepare food. They are purely being used for commercial purposes. And if we take a look at the definition of clay seuda,
One second.
If we look at a clear, direct definition of clay seuda, is food preparation from 0 to 100, meaning from crossing the threshold of the 50% threshold of edible or serving. Let's say from 89 to 90, whatever. That's the threshold of clay seuda.
50 up.
Let's say clay seuda 50 up. Whatever it is, you want to cross the threshold of edible to not. Good, that's like the threshold we want to talk about. So if you do anything else with the kli, you cut paper with it, it doesn't require tzavila because you're not preparing food, not making food edible, rawi to serve with this kli. With that same logic, a store that sells kalim that it purchased from a goy could claim that all of the kalim in its possession, its inventory that it purchased, the Jewish-owned store purchased from the non-Jewish supplier, are not required to have tevila right now. Because right now, when you got it from a goy, you're not using it for seuda, you're using it to make money. You're not, you the owner, are not gonna eat from it. So even if you want to derech arai, go and use the kli for food, such as lending it out to somebody to use for his big party or not, then you could claim that it does not require tevilat kalim. And in fact, that part of the merchant is agreed upon basically in halakha, that the merchant himself doesn't require tevila, unless you hold like the Or Zarua, who says that you always need, even for tashmish arai, for infrequent usage, you would require tevila. You could claim, though, still, that mikar adin, or tevila is not required, just except for that or zarua. That iser v'heter. About arai and rov tashmisho, we have from the pre-chadash. Rov tashmisho.
You're just saying, referring to somebody that's selling the item before it's even in use.
Janet's collection. She sells Lalik, Dom, Alessi, all these tons of silverware. All that silverware she has.
She's not obligated.
She's not obligated in tzvila. So now that situation of a merchant, somebody who sells kalim, he purchased from a goy, now he's selling them to Jews, creates four questions that I want to discuss tonight. Mizrahi will be able to get through all four of them and then move on. What happens if she wants to sell a kli to other Jews? Can she take them to the mikveh for them? She can have a good marketing sense this way. Tired of waiting for your husband to take kalim to the mikveh for 6 months in the garage? Tired of all that clanking in your back seat? No worries. Come here and buy kalim from Janet's collection. And never have to go to the kalim mikveh again, because we went already for you. And in fact, we even built a mikveh in the back for you, so that we can do it for you quickly, 1, 2, 3. Now, how does that work in terms of them doing it before it's purchased, and you doing it at the store before you purchase it, or after you purchase it? That's one issue. Question number one, tevila at the store. Question number two, what happens if a caterer rents out kalim? The store has, in a world before cleanliness and professionalism and formality, there's the old shopkeeper and the alter haim and the shtetl. He has a few hundred plates on display for sale, and you're making a chasana, so you say, let me borrow 50 of them, I'll rent them from you, I'll pay you for them, whatever it is, I'll borrow them from you, I'll have my guests feed them, and I'll give you a wash it and give it back to you. In such a world, do these kelim require tevila when they were clay sechora for the shopkeeper, for the merchant, and they're clay seuda for the borrower? We sort of spoke about this already, but it now requires further development. Then what happens if you purchase a gift from a cater, from a shop, a nice tray, a lessy tray, you're going to a Shabbat Arusi, and you want to put candies all over the tray. And you want to put candies all... Oh, Rabbi Kevin, okay. Kevin, it's not Tuesday, you're not allowed to be here. Okay. Anyway, so what happens if you... Sorry. There. He says he only comes on Tuesdays. He's here. So what happens if you take those candies and you put them on the tray? You know, the noch that they put for bar mitzvahs. You want to put it on the metal tray and wrap it up and give it to them nicely. How can you do that? It's ready to eat. You're putting food on it. It's a metal or glass tray. You're giving it as a gift. What's the heter for such a thing? Can you take it to the mikveh for him or not? Question number three. Question number four, eating in a restaurant, catering hall, hotel, where they did not take their kalim to the mikveh. How do you know? You lifted up your mug, your fork, your whatever, and you see the tag on the bottom. You're like, this clearly never went to the mikveh. It's a perfectly aligned, not even wet tag.
Even if it did, it doesn't make a difference.
What, the tag?
The tag is still
there. Well, that's another question. Are tags a chatzitza or not? I don't think so always. Depends on the tag. Depends on the tag. Well, let's say the caterer clearly doesn't care about the tag. It's not makpir, so it shouldn't be chotzitz. But okay. Well, let's say you can tell no water ever touched this tag. And it's a brand new clear, they just took it out of the box and put it on the table right now. Now, am I allowed to use it or not? Obviously, hopefully they washed it if it was used before, right? But that type of question. Those are the four questions. Tevila in the store. Tevila of a gift you purchased to give to somebody else. Borrowing from a caterer. And eating at a restaurant. This relies on a number of issues we spoke about already. Number one is arai, using something infrequently. Or you go by rov tashmisho. Rov right now is for money. I want to sell this right now. That's the rov. Or that's number one. He said that's a machloket Ashkenazim Sfaradim. Maran and the Prichanash say rov tashmisho legamre. Ashkenazim say go by the arai. Even in Ashkenazim, you can reread based on the Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Reread what does arai mean exactly? Temporary, very few times, just on a Shabbat, fine. Then is what happens if you lend something to somebody? You bought it from a goy for klei seuda. So then you need to do tefillah, right? If you lend it to somebody else for non klei seuda purposes, or you decide to use it for non klei seuda purposes, you didn't tovel the bowl. But you need something to put your mail in. So Peseder, it's not clay suda, put your mail in the bowl, it's fine. Let's say you bought the scissors for cutting paper, and you decide you need to cut some chicken. That's arai. So that's machloket Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. What happens if your next door neighbor in the apartment building knocks on your door? I don't have any scissors, do you have something I can cut my chicken with? He wants to borrow it for suda. You bought the scissors for non-Suda. What's the halakha in that situation? So you're saying it's like arai. It's not so often. So that we saw.
It's like aluminum. Right. Pen, aluminum
right.
Pen, you know?
Right. So that's what the Hagamah Ashri Maran says. Since it was lent, he doesn't own it. He never purchased it for clay suda purposes. Patur. And he's going to give it back. That's, what's the problem?
Can you apply that to vendors that give out their whole trays and the whole entire set up of food?
You're saying the first time is going to be temporary. And the vendor himself is not planning on doing this all the time. It's like a ride for him, maybe. It's hard to know because he's going to do that for every single tray. How many times are you going to claim temporary use? Doing that every single one?
We have the caterer, that caterer for every single person. Every single person, it's all right to them.
The use of the object is not all right. It's not
I mean, that object is going to be served today in the restaurant and tomorrow in the restaurant. Use it. You're saying I show up in the restaurant.
Right. It's Kriya for that person. Yeah. Using it only, but for the guy, he won't do it.
Right. If you look at the person, you look at the kli, it's a great question. What happens if you go to a restaurant and somebody, and they have you use their dish? Is it a she'ela? Are you borrowing his dish? Is it still his? What's the halacha there?
So a place like Chosen, it's not even a worry. It's owned by a goy.
Yeah.
And all everything is on my Goy. It's just supervised by Goy.
Right, so they don't have to do tefillah at all, yeah. They don't have tefillah kelim for chosen.
So why don't people like Janet just like claim like, okay, you know what? Get all their material on consignment that she doesn't own anything. It's all like, you know, she's like middleman. And that way she'll work it out like paperwork with the guy, like a 99-year lease for the all the material.
Right.
Own it.
Right.
And then she just transfers the lease to the new owner. So
right.
This is yours for 100 years. If the boy doesn't claim it, it's yours, you know?
Right. So then you just run the risk of 100 years from now, if they still use it or not, what's the halacha?
100 years from now, they're going to come
claim it. Right. Right, right, right. So then also you have to worry about the farce. Is that a real kinyan or not? Just like we said by the giving to the guy. You have to worry. Just like giving it to the guy and borrowing it indefinitely, is that really halachically acceptable or not? It's a great hara. I was thinking you were going to say something a little bit differently, but the point is like, what happens when you have a mechira? Buy something from somebody. You have to clarify what's the din going to be. Is this really a mechira? Is it not? You would have to create a whole structure in halacha. It would work. Question is that really gonna fly? Is that scalable to a policy level?
So really?
Halacha.
It's not like it's really not okay to move it.
It's questionable. For Sfaradim, do it. Go for it. I just saw Chacham Ben Tzion, electric appliances. If you can't do take it to the mikveh, give it to a guy.
I'm talking about my cast iron grate.
Yeah, so that's if it's same thing, you can't take it to the mikveh, you're concerned about it, so then give it, I would tell you, give it to a goy and borrow it back indefinitely. Or have him buy a share for $1 from you. And that way it's a shutafut, and there's no way to ever...
Can I give him $1 and gift you $1?
Yeah, sure.
That's
how we do gitin every single day. The sofer tells the husband, he has a bag with his writing instruments in it, he says, this is an absolute gift to you. Then he tells. Then he has the minuay of the sofer, and the sofer is appointed to write the get. Okay, now you have some writing instruments. Can I use them to write the get for you? Great, hand it over. And then when they're done with the get, he's like, you don't really need these writing instruments anymore. Take them for a second. Okay, you don't really need them anymore. Can I have it back? Can you give it to me as a gift, an absolute gift? Great. It works for Isha.
Do they go through that every time?
It depends on the Beit Din, but yeah.
Like, Swarty Beit Din goes through that?
It depends on the Beit Din. The minhag is that for sure you try to do it, but it's a question, the paper, the ink, the quill, how much do you have to do? At the very least, you can just be zoche b'niyar zeh, be zoche in this paper for the husband. Tell someone else to do it. Especially COVID, you don't want everyone to touch the paper. Yeah.
What's the reason why
I do that? Oh, I didn't explain the reason. It says, v'chatav la sefer kiritut. The husband has to write it himself. The question is, does he have to own the writing instruments or not? It's machloket rishonim, depends on how you read the Gemara. If you want more, Gitin Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, the Ramban right there has a whole essay on the topic. So now look at Rishonim if the husband needs to own the paper. If that's the case, so then how much does he have to own? He's still on the quill also, on the ink also. How much does he really have to own? I'm learning Gitin. Yeah.
I'm learning
Gitin.
For the past, like, 3 years.
Oh, wow. I just started. Okay, you'll teach me.
Okay.
Okay, let's continue. So those are the basic things we need to know in terms of... Oh, so let's say you lend it to somebody for clay su'uda. Does he have to take it to the mikveh or not? So the Isur v'heter said that since the original owner, me, the owner of the kli, could change my mind in a second to acquire tevilah, the person who borrows it from me should recite a bracha and do tevilah also. Since he wants to use it right now for clay su'uda, the Shach and the Taz try to minimize that a little bit. It's like, okay, we're not really sure you can say a beracha, but you should at least... Isur v'heter.
Who says that opinion?
The Isur v'heter says.
Oh, okay.
That you should... Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi says that you should, when you lend it to another Jew to use it for Seuda, even though you didn't buy it for Seuda, he should do tevila with the beracha. The Shach and the Taz say, no beracha, relax. But yeah, you should do tevila and just... tell the guy, when you give it back to him, you did tevila. And then it's a machloket, does that mean he should do tevila without a bracha, or he doesn't have to do tevila at all? Question, can you do tevila before you are actually chayav? We spoke about that a little bit last week. We'll continue that, hopefully, right now. Now, what happens if you sold it to somebody else? The halacha is, the maaseh, you sell it to somebody for klei su'uda. You, a Jew, bought it from a non-Jew. You want to sell it to another Jew for su'uda purposes, he has to do tevila with a beracha. That's the halacha we follow. don't take this borrowing thing too far. Just because you didn't borrow, just because you're going to, you own it, just because you're going to borrow it for non-suda purposes and still be patur, doesn't mean if you buy it for suda purposes, you're patur. Good? Borrowing is like the limit there. Now, let's go to our issues. Tevila in the store. When would you do tevila in the store? When you buy it from the non-Jew?
You have to own it.
So you, the Jewish owner, Jewish store owner, own it now. You bought it from a non-Jew. But you're buying it for clay, sechora, for merchandise, for busyness. My wife likes to make fun of me, busyness. So, whatever, she didn't grow up with busyness, so she learned that. Does it work ever to do tevila before your chayav? That's if you don't know who the buyers are going to be. We're just sitting in the store right now. It's the 3 weeks. No one's buying gifts. It's the 3 weeks. It's during Sefirat HaOmer. There are no weddings. There's no simchas. No one's buying a gift. So we have time. Let's go take everything to the mikveh and come back. Does it work or not? Listen, the owner never showed up. I don't know who he is. I can't think to do it ba'avuro. And even if I know it's going to be him, even if he tells me, like, okay, put aside a thing for me. He didn't pay me yet. Even if he pays me. Is it his yet? When I package it in my warehouse, I get it ready to ship. I even hand it, before I'm about to put it in the box. Is it his yet? It's not really so clear in halacha. And even if it is his.
No, if it's a movable object, he has to pick
it up. I should do hagba'ah for him, you're saying. And he paid me, I do hagba'ah for him, and therefore it's his. So he paid me, bought it on my online, in my store, website. Zachin la'adam, shelo lefana. So I want to be zochet for him. Can I take it to the mikveh before he gets it?
So, if you're allowed to, if you do something upon your own will, benefit someone else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Zachin la'adam, shelo lefana. You can be zochet for somebody else, not in front of him. So the Minchat Shlomo, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, that you can be mizakeh, the buyer, in the kli, and even be matbil it for him. That's true. But who says he's going to use it? Maybe he's going to change his mind. Maybe he's going to use it as a paperweight. Maybe he'll sell it or give it to somebody else. So it's bracha levatala. Your tevila was levatala. If you assume you cannot do tevila before you're actually chayav in it, so then nothing happened. The Minchat Yitzchak says, so what do you want to do tzvila? It's not chayav yet. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Minchat Yitzchak say, the candy store cannot do tzvila for somebody until he walks in and gives you cash and takes it. There is a little bit more discussion about that in terms of the shipping procedure. When does the ownership transfer? When do you become a shomer and not an owner anymore? Once you put it in the factory to pack it away and send it. But okay. Those who say it's okay, I got three big names who say it's okay for you. You have Blumenkrantz. So Blumenkrantz is a big time chacham. I think he wrote the Pesach guide. I think the old school Pesach guide. He's a Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says it works. The point is, it doesn't belong to a goy anymore. It belongs to you. You, the store owner. So what? You're not using it for klei suda. It's not tachat yad goy anymore. There's no more shame goy on it. There's nothing else that's preventing the tevila from working. Oh, but maybe you shouldn't say a beracha. No problem. Go buy a kli, say a beracha on that one, and at the same time, do this one. Therefore, you got yourself covered. The Minchat Yitzchak, one of his concerns was, you're going to lose the beracha. So get something else to say a beracha on it. What's the big deal? It's external reasons, I can knock it off.
You really do that?
That's what Rav
Blumenkrantz... Give a spoon for yourself and have a truck full of pots and pans?
Yeah, sure. And don't belong to you. Sure.
Yeah. Not a farce.
He thinks that if it's already been ordered and you're preparing to ship it, then you can already do it with a beracha without doing that farce. But otherwise, make a kinyan, he says, once it's ordered.
You're only dipping the spoon to do that.
That's okay. Is the spoon chayav right now? Yeah.
The spoon is chayav. You don't want the spoon. You're only dipping it and saying a beracha and claiming ownership of the spoon
right.
That you might one day use.
Right.
Only to do that. That's not a beracha levatala.
Says not. Yeah, no. That's what we always say, that whenever you have a safek by tevila kelim, do another keli that's vadai chayav, and then you'll be poter others. It's highly questionable, a lot of his assertions about kinyanim and shipping and whatever, but okay. Rav Asher Weiss also thinks that even though you're not obligated to do it yet. It's okay to do tevilah early. Just don't lose out on the beracha. And I just saw an Or LeZion Chelek Hey that came out a few months ago in the Yoredeya section on Hilchot Tevilah Kelim. They quote from Chacham Ben Sion that it's fine for the store to do the tevilah for the buyers, but they don't give a reason. Don't know. It's also Machloket Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Azner. I heard from Rabbi Levar, but I don't know who says what. Fine. You should know, though, that when it comes to the mikveh in the stores, there has to be hashgacha in the mikveh. It can't be that they, you know, built a bathtub in their store, took the gardening hose and filled it up with water. And you don't know that they did. So you need to have a kelim mikveh with hashgacha. You have to, if you ask the guy, like, you know, who runs your mikveh in the store, and he's like very dodgy about it, very sketchy about it, so that means that he's a charlatan and a liar, and you can't trust him. When it comes to halacha, transparency is king. Kashrus, transparency is so important. Somebody asks you a question, you go to a restaurant, you want to know more, can I please speak with the rabbi? I have a couple of questions for him. If they start being dodgy, there is a rabbi, there is no rabbi, you don't want, what are you trying to hide?
Yeah,
that's also another important reason why you should ask. I can also tell you about which vada it was, but I can tell you about which vada is the story I'm referring to about asking for the rabbi. There is a rabbi, there isn't a rabbi. Oh, here's a Persian guy who's sitting in the store. He's the rabbi. He doesn't even speak English. Doesn't speak Farsi. I spoke to him in Farsi. He can't answer my questions either. What kind of mashgiach is this? Hashem yirachem. Store in Great Neck. It's not an important store though, and not high risk shilas like meat. So it's not the end of the world. But okay. Okay, I should make sure it's cautious, pay attention. So that's an important thing. You have to make sure that it is an appropriately supervised mikveh. At the same time, if let's say they offer to do it for you, you have to make sure that they're going to do kelim that you hold our chayav in tevila. If they're going to do as a service, you pay $500, we matvil all of my kelim, I just got married, I don't know what I'm doing, do it for me. And then, you know, you get your china and you hold it. China needs a tefillah. And they said, no, we don't think China needs tefillah. So what did you pay for? You have to make sure that you know what you're getting. What are they actually going to take to the mikveh? What are they not going to take if you ask them to do it for you? In terms of the present, you bought a candy dish. You loaded it with candy without wrappers. Maybe wrappers are not mafsik anyway. You loaded it with candy or with food and you want to take it, nuts, M&Ms, whatever. And you want to take it to somebody. You even bought it that way. It was loaded already. What gave them the right to load it in the store that sells nuts and chocolates? What gave them the rights to do it? Isn't it glass? Aren't they Jewish? Isn't this food that's ready to eat? What's the heter to do that? This is a big discussion in terms of what do you do if food is already in a kli? Are you allowed to take food out of it? Food is obviously an usher, but how are you supposed to navigate that? Are you allowed to set it up l'chad techila? It's a great discussion. We're only discussing right now the permissibility of doing it yourself. Not what happens if it was already done for you. And this is a bit of a machloket because it depends. Can you take something to the mikveh early? If yes, so great, go do it. And then load it up with the food. If not, you can't like sell it to a goy. The whole point is you want to give it to the guy as a gift. And he's going to use it right away. It's not like he's going to take the dish out and like put it on the side. So you have to know about that also. It's a little bit more complicated, but since you bought it as a present, not as si'uda, you're not eating out of it first, it's not really clay si'uda and you have this problem and why it's not chayav right now. It's a big discussion. Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz has a great article I'm going to send you where he runs through all of the issues at hand. Chacham Ben Sion is quoted as saying it's mutar. Doesn't explain why. I'm not really sure why, but it doesn't explain why. And Rav Eliashiv also thought, since it's glass, it's only the Rabbanon anyway, take it to the mikveh now, and that it'll count since it's glass. That's the present shaila. I didn't deal with it in much depth, because I want to move on to the other topics. We're running out of time. But you should know that it is a question about presents, about if you should take it to the mikveh first or not. If you buy it, then it says needs tefillah on the packaging, obviously, you're okay. Or you can buy a ready-made one from a place, maybe that's also better. Fine.
So let's say an improvement to a vessel. Let's say you buy a silver vessel from a mechanic.
Yeah.
And you apply a coat of polish on it that beautifies
yeah.
it more.
Yeah.
Is that enough to make it clean?
Oh.
And you have a shetelek in that?
I'll tell you another question, then I'll tell you we're going to get there. Bakeries have these huge baking tins, baking trays. Every once in a while, they get really dirty, and they re-tin them. They send it to a company that applies a coating of metal to fill in any bumps and to straighten it out and to really make it nice and clean again. No more burnt parts, whatever. They're adding a layer. We'll have to talk about what activities of a poel, of a worker, can re-require tevilat kelim. It's a larger question. We'll get there. We're not up to that topic yet. We're getting there. It's on the radar. I wasn't sure how to phrase it. You gave me a good way to phrase it. So good. I'm like, who owns a bakery? Who's going to actually have this question? Now I have this question because you told it to me. Good. I think you lacquered your silver. Basically,
yeah. You apply a coat of polish on it.
Yeah,
that,
you polish
it. Makes it the mirror. You know?
Right. Does that count or not? Exactly.
I have to
talk about it. Yeah.
And I mean, you get one. When you get it, it's normal. It's you know standard finish.
Right.
You put a coat of polish on it. You spend 2 hours rubbing it in. Is because the residue that's left on it is so negligible that it's only microscopic.
Right.
You know, it's just your elbows that and your wrist that
right.
that improved it.
Right.
Is that enough of a felic in the item to claim that you added to it?
We'll have to see. The answer is probably not, but we'll have to see. We'll have to talk about it.
Tangible material added to
it? We'll see. We'll see. I don't even have the details at my fingertips right now.
Okay.
To tell you the truth. We'll see.
Unless
you have the question today. We'll get there, Bezat Hashem. These are all exciting questions. We'll get there, Bezat Hashem. It's on the radar. In terms of the catering business, renting, not serving, but renting. A lot of companies, there are companies out there that rent their kelim out for usage. So you go to a company, you don't want to have the plastic stuff from Shiraz. You'll get the food from Shiraz, but then you'll have a catering company rent you dishes to serve your dishes, serve food on. First of all, you have to make sure that the dishes are kosher. That's not always the case, and not kosher style. Rabbi David Cohen from the CRC has a company in Chicago that's owned by a Jew and rents kosher kelim with a CRC on it, kosher style kelim, and non-kosher kelim. So the non-kosher kelim, the rent to the goyim, tzvila? No Jew is using that for suda. Who cares? Like any hotel, right? A hotel has kosher stuff and non-kosher stuff. So they give a hashkafa on the kosher kitchen or the kosher kelim. That's it's obviously business is business and people try to cheat and whatever, and okay. But sometimes the CRC had a shayla one time, they had an event, 1,800 guests, 1,600 guests.
Oh, yeah.
I told you this? And there was 200 extra kelim in there, so you have to figure out what to do with all of that. Okay, it's batel b'rov in terms of the isur.
You said the one where the owner's like, oh, I'm
Jewish. Yeah, no, that's a different one.
Yeah.
Different one. That's the guy's just, you have to feel on everything. But 1,600 guests, and they counted the number of plates afterwards, and forks and knives, and they found 1,800. Like, wait a minute, the kosher kitchen only had 1,600. Where did these other 200 come from? The non-kosher kitchen. The hotel cheated and snuck in an extra 200 kelim. So in Isur Veheter, it's all batel, because you have rov. You only need rov, and it's a tarovit of yavesh v'yavesh, of solids that are not mixed, like in inseparably mixed. So you only need rov. I had three water bottles here, and one of them had water spiked with, pig fat, and another two, and you couldn't just taste it and tell. And they all have, it's, and you can't even taste it, whatever it is. So then you would say batel b'rov. You can drink any of them. Shechting chickens also? And the chickens, it's questionable, because that might be a double.
The only chickens go through the factory.
Right. But a chicken might be a chaticha habri'uya litkabed. Midr Abanan, there are certain things that are considered divarim chashuvim, which are not batel, even be'elech. If you have a slab of steak, three steaks in front of you, perfectly medium well done. Two of them are kosher, and one of them is totally treif. all cows. You can't tell the difference. Since it's Uyali Kaved, you would serve this to a guest, Midrabana, it's not even batel be'elef. Someone walks into Lamare with that steak and puts it in the kitchen, the entire kitchen is taref. So, Midrabanan. It's a machloket, how far back do you go? Is it only when it's ready to serve? Or even when you shechted the chicken, the carcass of the chicken is already going to be called Ru'uya Lid Kabed. Machloket, Ashkenazim, Machmir, Saradim, Hekel, Mazal Tov, normal, that's how things go. But in terms of the question of Tevila, you have to figure out, is this Batel Berov? For the Isur, yeah, it's Batel Berov. But maybe for, you don't say Bitul Berov for Tevilat Kelim. Especially because maybe it's a, what should we call it? I forgot the term already. What's the term? Rega, 1 second. Maybe it's a davar sheish lo matirin. A davar sheish lo matirin. It's about to become mutar. Just take it to the mikveh, and it will be mutar. Just like an egg born on Yom Tov is going to be not batel be'elef, because it's a davar sheish lo matirin. If it mixes with another billion eggs, all the eggs will be asurot, because wait until after Yom Tov and eat it beheter instead of eating it now, the isur on Yom Tov. So it's a whole question of how to define davar sheish lo matirin. Rav Avadia is mekel here, and he says even the things are going to be batel. But the CRC just had to figure out how to punish the hotel for cheating. They don't have to tell the hotel that it's all batel. They should teach the hotel a lesson so they don't keep cheating. So that's a policy question, not a halachic question.
What do they do? They would just take
care of the certification. I don't know how they punish. He doesn't have shiurim on that. How do you punish? No, they're great. They're great. OU, CRC, Star K, OK, they're all great. Kaf K, they're all great. Yeah, they're all great. They're all great. The five major national hashkachot are amazing hashkachot. You don't have to worry about that.
OU is one of them?
OU is the biggest one. And it's the most professional. Most professional one. They have the most kulot also in some ways. They're okay with chalav akum, they're chalav stam, they're okay with pat akum.
I don't think the OU might be the most lenient of all of them.
They might be the most lenient, but that's okay. They do a very professional job in everything that they do. The OU. So we'll have to continue with this catering thing now. We have a couple of minutes left. We'll keep going, but we're not going to finish it today. We'll do our best. Catering. So let's say you. How do you look at it when you lend as a caterer or as a dish renter? How do you look at the need for tevila? It's a bit of a machloket. Some say you should do tevila on the metal, not on the glass, because glass is already derabanan. Some say, the Pri Chadash says, Rov Tashmisho. Rov Tashmisho means you go by the majority no matter what. It's not the majority here. So who cares about the Isur Vahatzer and using it aray? It doesn't matter. This is all Midrabanan anyway. And therefore, it's basically Machloket. Many say, for Sfaradim, for sure, you could be Mekel. Zivchei Tzedek says to be Machmir. And the Ben Ishchai says that... if you borrow from a retailer, you can use it without tevila. Just the question is, let's say you have to pay for broken kelim that you borrowed. If you have to pay full price for the kli that you borrowed, so then it's possible that it's not really a loan. It's really a sechirut. And a sechirut means a rental. And according to the Taz, a rental needs tevila without a beracha. It depends on how much you have to pay. If you have to pay full price, then it might be that like it's a matana, and then you have to give it back. If you don't give it back, then you pay in full price. It could be it's a mecher, and you're selling it matana. You're buying it, and then you're selling it back to him. Therefore, you could, depending on the nature of the agreement, it might require tevila. Okay, fine. That's the idea of rentals. Sfaradim, mutar. They're resumed to be machmir though. Ashkenazim also. Recommending machmir. It depends though, is it glass or is it in China, or are we talking about metal? If it's metal, then you're Ashkenazim for sure. They tell you you're required to be like Kelim. Okay, we'll stop here. Yezad Hashem, next week we will get into the catering business, going to the hotel, going to the restaurant, and you know they didn't do tevilah, and what's the halakha in that case? And then we will begin the workers, the factories, and everything else. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen. Thank you guys for coming. Thank you, Chacham Aryeh. And Be'ezras Hashem, we should have a great week, and keep getting excited about tevilah kelim. If all goes well, next week, and maybe a little bit into the week afterwards, we'll do the workers and all the factory business. Disposables will be a shiur in of itself. And then what to do when the kelim mikveh is closed will be our finale. Be'ezrat Hashem. But okay, thank you very much. Sorry for holding up our feet. Okay, sure. There you go, let's go.
Okay, first thing, plans on giving someone a gift. Like, I go to Janet, I buy a thing, man. I want to give someone as a gift. I know the person I'm giving to is nothing.
Uh-huh.
For them without them being assigned.
So that's part of this question. Yeah, that's part of this question. If you know he's not going to do it, maybe there's a way you can use it as clay suit without,
no.
And then you're definitely going to.
You want to. The thing is, like, the thing. You're not going to use it.
According to Chacham Ben Tzion, it's okay.
According to.
It's okay. So it's machloket. It's machloket. If you know he's going to use it one day, he's not going to just leave it there for sure. Then Rav Shlomo Zalman says
he is for sure going to use it.
So then, give it not your wife, but find someone else to pick it up for the person to be mizakeh, to be mizakeh for the person.
Right.
Take it to the mikveh. That's what you would do. Yeah. Zakeh Baruch.